Well, the last couple of days, I look outside and I see the clouds and the rain, and I think I'm still up in Oregon. I was up there for 2 weeks, and it was a really nice time up there, and I feel privileged to be able to get away for a couple of weeks to recharge the batteries, and I've been back for 3 days, and I need another recharge, so I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Is Sherry here today? Well, then I can talk about her. Sherry Davison is like a really smart, kind, organized Army general. If it wasn't for her, things would not be happening over there in the hall. It would take us 5 years to do what we're probably going to do in 3 or 4 months. And so she has spent so much of her time and energy over there in the hall. And of course, our goal is to be finished by Christmas Eve. And well, we might be on that line. So my effort begins tomorrow because the carpeting is going to be coming up and the new flooring is going to be going down. I know that sounds easy, but it's going to take a couple of weeks to do all of that. So any help would be greatly appreciated. And a shout out to the Rossettis, part of our clan. Carlin, our daughter, used the term Rossetti shout out, and she said it's just saying hi to the Rossettis. So it's really nice to have you all here, really, and it's an honor for being able to baptize our grandchildren and your children. So it's really nice. For creation season, our theme is living water. Water is a symbol of life because it is always flowing. There is an old philosopher, Heraclitus, who said you cannot put your foot in the river twice. There are different variations of that, meaning that life is always going. It's always on the movement. So often in the Bible, water is a symbol of how life flows on. And so today we're going to talk about baptism and what it means, and then at the end of the sermon we will invite you to come up and reaffirm your own baptism if you want, but you don't have to. But I have to go back in time a little bit and tell you about the first time that I got married. I was 4 years old. And the young bride was Vicky, and I think she might have been older, maybe by a couple of 3 weeks. Of course, my memories are very vague of that time. I remember a little procession down the street in front of our house. And I remember very well, we sealed it with a perfunctory kiss under our porch. I don't know if she remembers that or not. I don't know who she is or where she is. I have no idea who she was. When I kissed my first girlfriend, I was 16. I would see her at school, walking down the hallway, or seeing her in class. And whenever I saw her, the whole world slowed down, and it seemed like the heavens would open. If I hadn't married my first wife, I would probably have married my first girlfriend. But who knows? You know, that's a door that I didn't pass through. Marriage is one of those passageways, isn't it, when you get married to another person. It's not just one person going through a door to a new future, but it's two people passing through the same door. And it is the beginning of something. And when we pass through that door of marriage, we do not know where it's going. We might think we know where it's going. I have to remind many young brides who are being married for the first time, that there will be a day after the wedding. I know that kind of surprises a lot of young brides because they're so focused on that day, but it's just the doorway into a different way of life. You commit yourself to another human being, and you go through the door together, and you face the future together, whatever might happen. Well, you know, here I am all these years later, thinking back to all of those doors that I have been going through throughout my life, sometimes I didn't realize I was going through a doorway into a different life. I remember vaguely, again, joining the Air Force in February 1970. Now, that's back when they were transitioning from the draft to an all-volunteer service, and we had a lottery. And my lottery number came up low, and so I joined the Air Force. And I remember my parents driving me up to Portland, Oregon, and we had lunch at the Rhinelander, a well-known German restaurant in Portland, and it was special because we never went out for dinner. Never. We might have gone to Bob's hamburger stand and ordered 10 hamburgers for a dollar. Can you believe that? 10 hamburgers for a dollar. But I was looking forward to what I don't know. I was just looking forward to something happening in my life because I was, you know, I was young. I was 18. So they drove me to the induction center. I raised my hand and I said, "I will," to an oath that I don't remember hearing. I think it was mumbled, you know, something about, you know, protecting your country and things like that. And then they drove me to the airport, and we waved, and I went to Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio for basic training, and boy, did my life get turned upside down. I didn't expect it. I mean, how many of you have been in the military and gone through basic training? Bill, yeah, a few. Yeah. Do you remember that? Did it turn your life upside down? Wow. Graduating from anything is a door that we go through. I remember my friends and I, before high school graduation, smoked marijuana, and we went through the graduation ceremony, which was very strange. Now, I tell you that for a reason, not the strangeness, but the marijuana part. When I first came here to this church 27 years ago, I officiated in a wedding, and at the reception, I on purpose grabbed a can of beer and drank the beer in front of everyone, and people were going, you know, the pastor drinks beer. So, because, you know, people have these weird ideas about pastors, and I wanted to kind of break those stereotypical visions that people have of pastors. Yes, I drink beer. I haven't smoked marijuana for a while, but I'm not against it. But I'm not recommending it to young people. So, young people, don't do drugs. I, on my way back from Oregon, I was talking to a young woman in line. We were just sort of making our way through, being checked, you know, security. And we talked for a while, you know, where are you from, this and that. And then, you know, I don't like to tell people I'm a pastor. I really don't. But I was forced to tell this person I was a pastor. And you could see in her face that, you know, her mind went to her vision of what of a pastor is. And she probably didn't see me anymore after that. She saw her version of the pastor. So I generally don't like to tell people that I'm a pastor. But you know, my life has turned out wilder and crazier and more meaningful and deeper and harder than I ever expected it would at 18. If I'd known all of this was going to happen in my life, I probably would have just gone up to the mountains and curled up in a little ball under a rock, and like the Native Americans, you know, when they're finished, they go off. What a journey, though. How did I get here? I watched my daughters being born, and talk about a passage into a strange world, from one world in the womb through the birth canal out to a totally unexpected world. Oh, my God, and I can imagine. Well, I still remember the look on Carrie's face when she was first born. You know, she kind of opened her eyes, and I could almost, I had my own words for her. I said, "Oh, my God, where am I? What is this?" Well, you know, having a child will turn your world upside down. But once you go through that door, there's no going back, is there? I mean, there are times when you wish you could go back. But my job as a parent, I understood early on, was to understand my daughters and who they were becoming as people, and trying not to get in their way, and trying to give them a life that would help them unfold. And I think that's what we do in life, we unfold. And then there's Jesus. He was 30 years old. Now, Carlin just turned 30 years old. It's a hard, tough age, right? Happy birthday, by the way. Jesus was 30. Now, that was kind of normal, I think, in that world, that that was the age of being fully adult. And there are different stages in the Jewish religion that you would pass through to get to becoming a full adult. So for those of you who are in your 20s still living at home, you know, you got till 30, right? It's either you're in a Jewish family or an Italian family, right? I've heard of young men living at home with their parents indefinitely in Italy, and that's becoming a problem. Well, we get this weird story at the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark, where we have John the Baptist, oddly, coming on stage first. You know, there's this big announcement, you know, of Jesus, and then comes John, and he's more of an introduction to Jesus than anything else. And Jesus comes to him because John the Baptist is out, you know, on the river baptizing people, and Jesus comes to be baptized. And that is a very, very important part of the story. And, you know, we don't really know, you know, what the form of baptism was, but I can easily imagine John the Baptist laying Jesus backward into the water, and then him coming back up dripping wet, and it is supposed to be a passageway. And then, oddly, we get this strange phenomenon of the heavens opening up, and Jesus hearing the voice of God, "This is my beloved son, my child, and I am very, very proud of my child." And then it goes on to refer to Jesus as the Son of Man, which is a whole different term than Son of God, and the best we can figure out that title is that he is just a human being. That's what it means. Son of Man means he is simply a human being. He was born and raised, and he probably cried when he was a baby, and probably suckled with his mother, and went through all the stages of life. Probably went to synagogue, went through all of that stuff. He was a human being, but he was the human being, one that we can look at and see his life and see, well, that's how to be a human being. And so, it means then that we become followers of Jesus, not because he's leading us to a life beyond somewhere. I don't know how people got that impression probably a couple of thousand years ago that Jesus was talking about an afterlife. He's not talking about an afterlife. He's talking about this life. And so we see Jesus then throughout the gospel dealing with things that come his way, conflict, talking about where life comes from, and death, and transformation, and all of that. And of course it ends by this huge act of transformation from death into new life. And so we are meant to ask, when we read that story, what does it mean to be a human being, to be ourselves? And I was taught in the church as I was growing up that God had a plan for me, and it was up to me to figure out what that mysterious plan was, and come to find out there is no plan. So it fell back on me. I had to figure out what I needed to do in this life. And when you read the Gospels carefully and deeply, you will understand that what Jesus is speaking to and what the gospel is speaking to is something that is deep inside each one of us. And it's not the same thing. It comes from the same place, but it's not the same thing. Only you know what is in you that is wanting to unfold. Only you know what it means to be who you are in your own life. I was talking to my sister Linda. I got to spend some time with her. You know, she and I are kind of joint owners of this townhouse that we have up in Newport, Oregon. So we spend time together, and she asked me about her daughter who's in her 20s living at home, and wondering, you know, what she can do. They're in a very codependent relationship, and so Linda was telling me about how difficult it is to let go. And I told Linda, and she asked me, you know, what should I do? And I said, Linda, you already know what you need to do. You know. And we talked for a while, and I told her again, and she says, yeah, I know what I need to do. And I told her, you just need the courage to do it. You might need to find somebody to guide you through it, maybe a therapist or something like that, but you need to let your daughter, her life, unfold and become what is in her and what is meant to be in her. So, our lives come from the earth. We are all earth people, mud people, as they say. And we grow upward to what I don't know. We grow up. We put it in those terms. We grow up. We become an adult, and it is a moving target. I thought when I was a teenager that when I reached the age of 18, something magical would happen to me, and I'd be an adult. And then when that came and went and nothing happened, I thought, well, maybe 21. And then nothing happened, you know, that came and went. I thought, well, maybe 25. And remember, I grew up in the 60s where we were told not to trust anybody over 30. So when I got closer to 30, I said, whoa, you know, this isn't working so well. You know, nothing is going to mystically appear to me and tell me what I need to do with my life. And so, you know, through study of the Bible, I realized that I already know what to do with my life. I know, and I think you do too. You might be doing something now, involved in something that is not you, and that's where a lot of stress and conflict comes. But there is a you that is unfolding and being called simply to unfold and be you in the fullest possible way. If there's any plan for your life, it's that. That's what God wants, and I think that's what most of us want. We want to grow. We want to see each other grow, not only up, but deeper into ourselves, and becoming fully who we are. Now, I know that that is not something that we need up here, but we need the courage to do what we are called to do in our own lives. And I can't tell you what that is for you. Only you can do that. So baptism is one of the deepest symbols of the Bible, and that is going down in death and rising to new life. Going down in death and rising to new life. That's what the symbol is, going down in death and rising to new life. It's about transformation. Transforming death into new life. That's what the cross is about. And the resurrection is dying and going up. And that's why I talk to the kids about things going into the ground, and under the right conditions, they grow up. Now, under the wrong conditions, kids can grow in the wrong direction. Or they might not have the best circumstances in which to grow. But that's what we try to do as parents, as best we can, or friends. We try to help each other grow along with ourselves. And so baptism is a symbol. Nothing has happened in heaven because we baptized children this morning. It is not some transaction that guarantees the, you know, eternal life in heaven with God. We don't know that. But what we do know is that baptism is a very important, powerful reminder that as we go through our lives, there are going to be times when we go down and not up. But when we go down to the power of God, and we get transformed as we come up once again. And that's what baptism is all about, symbolizing for us going down and coming up. Now, I am doing my best, and it is my calling, my destiny, to be fully Rick Marshall. You don't have responsibility for that. I do. You can help. You can tell me the truth or help me, or, you know, all the ways we help each other. But that is my destiny, to become fully Rick Marshall. Well, Ricky. That's on my birth certificate, Ricky Ellis Marshall. Only Jesus heard the voice of God. You might notice that in the Gospel of Mark. The other Gospels say everybody heard it, but it's very important that nobody else hear it in the Gospel of Mark, because only Jesus could hear what his own destiny is. Only you can hear what is your own destiny. And so the voice from heaven is for us too. And the message at that most important time of Jesus rising to his own destiny, the voice says, "This is my child, and I am very pleased." And that is the message that we get, not from the world, but from the Bible, from Christian community, is that God sees each one of us as a child of God, and God is pleased. But it's not easy being yourself, is it? It's a struggle. It is a struggle to be the best mother or father or partner or pastor or whatever we do in life, to be a good friend, to do what is best not only for myself but for others. And so the voice from heaven is for us as well. And the message is simple and it is clear. And if there's any message in the gospel, is that God says, "You are my child, and I am very, very pleased with you that you are my child." So that's why we would like to have a little ceremony of reaffirming our baptism this morning, and that's how we're going to end the sermon. And we'll just leave some time for people to come up. It's a reaffirmation of baptism. And there's water in the baptismal font up here, and at your leisure, if you'd like to come up and just dip your hand in the water, or dip your hand in the water and maybe put something on your forehead or on your head or on your elbow, you know what. But it is your recommitment to this basic symbol of life, of going down in death and coming up to new life, and knowing that God wants life for us, not death. God created us as God's own children, and God thinks we are a blessing to God. And so now we begin, and we're just going to have a little time. Where's Cliff, by the way? Cliff, would you mind tinkling on the piano a little bit? Maybe play some, I'm sorry I didn't ask you before this, but you know, that's life, right? It surprises us sometimes. How about a little Beatles? A little Beatles medley, maybe? Is that okay? Yeah? And then as just please come forward. Thank you.
Please join me in prayer. Loving God, every moment we open ourselves to you, seeking the pure waters of baptism and the promise of renewal. And every moment you offer us a new start. Here's what you can do now, you tell us. Here is where you are unfolding. And so we take this moment to once again, consciously, deliberately, open ourselves to you and to your transforming love. Wash out all of the things that keep us from being the persons you know we can be. Flush out the anger, the doubt, the fear, all the negative emotions and attitudes that clog our spirits and limit our possibilities. Intensify our senses so that we recognize your presence, not descending to us from heaven, but welling up from deep within us, offering again and again the message that we are yours and we are loved. We pray this morning for these people, especially for Mimi, Michael, and family, for Nancy and Bob, Dave and Angel, Madeline and Molly, Catherine's sister Kim, for safety and warmth, health for Robin Durkee, and a thanksgiving for a new job for Char, for Marlene Wills, for Lori Noel, and for Russ, comfort, strength, healing, and care. We pray all of these things this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.